Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Yud Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of Ravina Amar. The Gemara had begun with asking a question. We learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta that Bia is one of the ways that Kedushin, that Erisin, is accomplished. And we also know Bia is the way that Nesuin, the second step in a Jewish marriage, is done. And the Gemara's question in our previous shiur was, can Bia accomplish both? Can you have through a Bia both an Erisin and an Nesuin? And the Gemara, in order to try to answer that question, had begun a discussion, a quoted Brises that had spoken about at what point could a married Jewish woman, a Bas Yisrael, that's married to a Kohen, eat Truma. And from those Brises, the Gemara wanted to prove what Bia accomplishes. So now the Gemara continues. Vinam of the Raisa Mishnah Pshita Le'Dolacha. Everybody agrees that an Arusa eats Truma because through the Erisin she becomes the Kinyan Kaspai of the husband. And therefore, through any type of Kedushin, she should be allowed to eat Truma. Now, if we'll say that Bia only it makes Erisin, Medrabanan who's Shalach Le'er of Yehuda, and since the Rabbanan sent Rabbi Yehuda b'Abseira, v'achas Shalach Le'er, and they asked him, Shemate Lecha, we heard that you hold, Shata'ima, Arusa Bas Yisrael Acheras Betruma, that she's allowed to eat Truma. The question, V'loi Chayish L'Simpan, are you not concerned about Simkin? Maybe the marriage will not be consummated. Maybe the husband will find that there's a mum in the wife, and it turned out that it was a mekach tos, and that means she was never really married to him. And therefore, since there was that's a concern, why are you allowing her to eat truma? It may turn out that a Yisraelis ate truma. Said Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir to ben Bagbag, Shalcher Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir sends to ben Bagbag, v'ata moimekein, and you don't hold that way? B'chsukani bach, I know Shata Baki Bechadri Torah that you're a big Talmud Chacham, and Lidrish B'Kal V'Chaymer. Can you not understand a Kal V'Chaymer? Yatu Yedeya. You can't come to the conclusion. If a Shifcha Kananis had Bia with her owner, that doesn't really have any halachic standing as far as her being a Shifcha. And therefore, it won't create that she should be allowed to eat truma. Kaspa machilas b'truma, but if the owner bought her, then she does eat truma. And we're not concerned, well, maybe after the owner buys her, he'll discover that there's something wrong with the shikha kananis, and then the whole transaction was null and void, and she was never his shikha kananis, and she should never be entitled to eat truma. Zu should be also machalos matruma. So certainly a woman who marries a kohen, because everybody agrees that once she's in a sua, that she's allowed to eat truma. Because once they're married, if there would be something wrong with her, he would have said something. Once they're married, there's no concern. Ain't a din. So certainly, kasper machalos matruma, that if he just did a kedusha kesef, she should be entitled to eat truma. But like nechesh l'chsimpon, and we need not be concerned about Simkin. But Rabbi Yehuda makes his point, Avama Esa, even though this is, to me, most logical, that an Arusa should be allowed to eat Truma, Avama Esa, what should I do? Shoreim Chachamim, Chazal taught us, Arusa Bas Yisrael, Ein Achelis B'Truma. Achi Tikanis L'Chuppa, until she has Chuppa M'Shem Ula. Because, as we learned, we're concerned that if she's going to eat entitled to eat truma while she's still in Arusa, she is still in her father's home, and her husband, the Oris, is going to send the truma, and she's going to serve it to her siblings. But the Mishnah Masechta Ksubos, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us that this, that she's not allowed to eat truma while she's in Arusa, is only until the time that was set for the Nesuin to take place. Until that time, she's an Arusa, but because of the concern that we just explained, she's not allowed to eat truma. However, once the time of marriage comes, the Mishnah teaches there that she is allowed to eat truma. Why? Because by that time, since she was supposed to be married, so on one hand, the Gemara over there explains, she's got her husband, who now, because he was supposed to marry her, even if he didn't do the nisuin, has to start supporting her. So he sets up a home for her, and therefore she doesn't have any, there's no concern that she's going to feed her siblings. She's no longer living with them. And also the concern that maybe she turns simpan, maybe it turns out that she's a balmum, and if she's a balmum, the whole thing was a mekach tos. The Gemara also explains there what he does before he sets up that home for her. He has his relatives, his female relatives, check her out if she has any mumin. But the Mishnah over there continues that everything I just said is zu Mishnah Rishayna. However, bezin shalchreim amru ene isha chels patruma, achik tkanis l'chuppah. No matter what the reason is, no matter what state we're in, even if already the time for the nisun came, if she's still only in arusa, the halacha is that she should not be allowed to eat truma until they have actual nisuin. So if that's the case, the braisa that we just learned that says a bas yisrael who's an arusa to a kohen never eats truma, achetikonis l'chopo, obviously holds like the Mishnah Achrayna. And Tosfos therefore asks, why, if, and what's the reason for the Mishnah Achrayna? The Gemara over there explains, because the Mishnah Achrayna is concerned that the husband is going to find her Baal Mum. And he can't rely on anyone else checking her up, only he himself. But if that's the case, ask Tosfos, so the concern is not because of Ula's concern that she's going to feed her siblings, the concern is about Simkin, that she's going to find that she's a Baal Mum. So Tosfos answers that that maybe because we see the Gemara is focused on Achav Achisael, our Gemara is only talking about until the time of the Nisuin. Says the Gemara, Ben Bagbag, that holds that the reason is not allowed to eat, Arusa is not allowed to eat Truma because of Simkin. Simkin Bavadim Leslie, he says you can't learn the Halacha of a arusa from an Eved Kenani, because there's no concept of simpan that we're going to follow, that we have to be concerned with by Shifcha Kenanis, that we do have to be concerned with by marriage. Because if Mumin Shibagoli, if the Shifcha has obvious movement that everybody could see that would prevent him from wanting to have her as a Shifcha Kenanis, says the Gemara Chazalai, these are very obvious. And if they're obvious, if they bother him, why did he buy her? Obviously, he knew about it, and it doesn't bother him. Im shemum shemaseser, and if she has a mum that is not visible to all of us, it's under her clothing, says the Gemara, my nafkliminei, why should that be a factor in him owning her? Why did he buy her? He bought her to work. And what's the difference? What's doing under her clothing? What's going to be another mum? Nimtza ganef. Maybe it determined that this Eved is a ganef. A kivyostis, who is a kidnapper. Hagia. This is not a good reason to void the transaction. The reason to void a transaction is when there's something which is terrible. Most ganovim are like that, and he should have taken that into consideration. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. Other Rishonim disagree, that they say, we can't assume that your typical Eved is a kavyustus. You can't assume that your typical individual is a kidnapper. And that's why Tosfos explains that the definition of kavyustus is a gambler. And since it's a gambler, gambling was something which was very frequent by Avadim, and therefore saying, well, it turns out that this Eved is a gambler, is not an excuse to make it into a bittul mekach. Here, the Gemara established that we find somebody who is a ganif to be a thief, is that something that we should be thinking about or not? And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein brings this into a very interesting question. He says that there was a person who approached somebody who owns a catering hall. And he told this catering hall, told him, "I'm becoming 60 years old. I'm throwing myself a big party, and I want you to please cater it. And the way I'm going to be able to pay for this elaborate affair is by, all the guests are going to come and are going to give me gifts. And from those gifts, I'm going to be able to pay you." And he asked him, he told him, "I want you to please make a very elaborate affair, a high-end affair." And he says that as I'm going to be giving the gifts, I want to have a place to be given the gifts. So the caterer told him that there is a safe. I have a safe in my office. I'm going to give you a combination to the safe, and you could keep on putting your gifts into that safe. And then after the party, you'll use that money to pay me, and whatever else you is left over, you'll keep for yourself as your gifts. This person was a very dishonest person. And what he did in the middle of the party was, he went into the office, indeed took all the gifts that he had received, and also all the money that the caterer had in his safe, and he disappeared. So now, the caterer realized what happened, and in the middle of this affair, he makes an announcement, and he says that the birthday boy disappeared, and all of you have enjoyed this affair, and none of you, and I'm not getting paid for it because this person disappeared. Everybody here has to pay for it, has to pay what the cost of a portion, what the cost per guest is. They all say, "Well, we didn't order, we came here as guests. We didn't ask for this." So at first glance, he says, this is similar to the din in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Mem Aleph Sif Dalet, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses where somebody passed away and he left a cow in his farm, and everybody and the children thought that that cow belonged to the father. So they went and they shechted and ate that cow. And afterwards it was discovered that that cow did not belong to the father. The cow belonged to someone who had left or lent the cow to the father. And now this person says to the children, to the Yisoyimim, "I want the value of the cow." And the halacha is that you pay the mei, that the Yisoyimim have to pay the mei basa bazol. The mei basa bazol is normally 2/3 of the value. On one hand, they're not totally innocent. On the other hand, they're not totally guilty because they didn't know. In our Gemara, in our case, however, it's very different because they didn't come and they didn't do anything on their own. Everything that they did was only based on this birthday boy, supposed birthday boy, who invited them. And he said he was paying. They never ate with any based on any of their own decision. But on the other hand, it was the caterer is claiming that it was a mekachtos. And since the caterer is considered, the caterer says it's a mekachtos, the deal that I had with this person who reserved the party is null and void. And now I have an issue directly with you. So this is an interesting question, and the Cheshukei Chemet paskins that in this case, the halacha is that they do have to pay, they don't have to pay the full price of the meal, but they do have to pay two-thirds of what the cost is. So says the Gemara, "My Amrit, what else could you say about this ganef that the Gemara says that he turned out to be a bamum, list the mezuyan, that he's an armed robber, a nichtav lemalchus, he is a person that the government's running after. Says the Gemara, Hanu Kolislu. Anybody who's in that type of a situation, everybody knows who that is. And therefore, they can't claim Mekachtos. So that's why there's no concept of simpen. And that's why Ben Bagbak says we can't bring a raya from the fact that a shifcha eats truma to a wife eating truma. But ask the Gemara, michti. But the way we're up to now is both according to Yochim and Bagbag and both according to Yehuda Bebseira, lo yachlo. A rusa doesn't eat truma. My benayu. So when there's only a difference if the reason is because of simpin or the reason is because she's going to serve her siblings. What is the nafkamina? Says Mar Ikum Nai Kibel. If the husband accepted upon himself, no matter what my wife looks like, I'm going to accept her and I'm not going to be able to claim that it's a Mekachtos. So if the concern is the siblings, so that concern continues to be a concern. If the concern is that she's a Baal's mom, that concern falls away. Or Masar, in a case where the father gave over the daughter to the Shluchei Abal. If the concern is that she's going to serve her siblings, the siblings are not here, she's no longer here, she's going off with the Shluchei Abal. If the concern is that he's going to turn up, that it's going to turn out that she's a Baal's mom, that concern continues. Or V'holach, if the father appointed Shlichim to take the girl to her husband, and the Shluchim of the father, are traveling together with the Shluchim of the husband. Still, so in this case as well, there's no concern about family members getting from that food, they're not here. But the concern of Simpan still does exist. And that's what the nafkamina between these two pshatim are. So, continues the Gemara. The Shas of Tshuvas, Shvus Yaakov, in fact, discusses, Chaylik Alef Simkuf Ayin Dalad, discusses where somebody hired a Shifcha to work for him, and he wrote a contract, and then it turns out that this woman is a thief. The Aloch is that, can he let her go or not? So he says that the Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpat Siman Reish Lamed Bey Sif Yud says that by Eved Kanani there's an assumption that they may not be the most honest people. But here the person that was hired in the case of the Shvus Yaakov was a Jewish woman. With a Jewish woman there's a fair assumption that the Jewish woman is honest. And if it turns out that there is an issue with this woman and her honesty, then the halacha is that it can be considered a mekachtos, and he can let it go. We learned in the Mishnah, machlokes beisham beisilul, that when the Mishnah says that we could do kedushin bekesef, how much kesef are we talking about? Beisilul said pruta, and beisham said a dinner. Ask the Gemara, my tamai de beishamai, why does Beis Shammai hold that Kedushin with less than a dinner is not considered a valid Kedushin? Answers the Gemara Amar Zera, Shekein Isha Makbedes Al Atzma, women are particular about themselves, Ve'ein Miskadesh Pachs with dinner. A woman will not agree to become Kedushin with less than a dinner. It's just not acceptable to her. Amar Abaya, so asks Abaya, if that's the case, El Ma'ata, that it depends on what the woman feels about her status. The daughters of Rabbi Yanai came from a very wealthy family. The captain and Avshayu, and they certainly don't feel proper to get married. To them, anything less than a basket full of dinrin, which is not acceptable. Hochinami, is that going to be the case? The Pashta Yod v'kiblachad zuza mi'acher. If she had a kedusha with only one dinner, we're going to say hachinam d'lav a kedushin, because we're going to say that it depends on what a woman feels about herself, and if a woman feels that she should not be getting less than that, it's not going to be a valid kedushin. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows: But just like the Gemara is saying, just like Reb Zeir is saying, that a regular woman is not satisfied with less than a dinner. Similarly, the Bansi, the Rav Chisda, the Bansi, the Rav Yanai are not going to be satisfied with less than a taka de divra. And even if we'll find that they'll say, you know what, we'll take that much, it wouldn't make a difference. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Because Rashi says, what the Gemara is saying is, that just like by a regular woman, according to Beis Shammai, less than a dinner is not considered kesef, and in order to be able to have a kedushin, we have to have kesef. And Reb Zeir is telling us that less than a dinner for your average woman is not kesef. So then for Batsi Reb Yanai, less than a takav of the dinner will not be kesef. That means according to Rashi, even if they knew that it was less than takav of the dinner, it wouldn't be acceptable. Tosfos has a different explanation. And Tosfos' pshat is that in a case where the girl accepted, knew what she was doing, so then it'll be a good kedushin. The question is, what will be in a case where we don't know, but she took this amount of money, will it not be a good kedushin? And what the Gemara's problem with that is, that we of course need to have consistency. What is the amount of money that it affects the kedushin? And according to this approach, every woman will be different. Amalei, so says Reb Zeir Tabaya, Pashta yodav le kibbol le kamino. I have no question that if the woman accepted this amount of money, it's acceptable. Ki kamino, I'm speaking about a case, the kachet b'layla. She didn't see it, it was by night. Inami d'shav yishlich. And that's where we have the machlokes. Beis Shammai is going to hold that you have to have a dinner. And the way we have to learn Pshat the Gemara is that a dinner is considered kesef for everyone, according to Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says a pruta is enough. But our Gemara just taught us that the kedushin could take place at night. And because the kedushin took place at night, we didn't see, the kala didn't see how much money she was receiving. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, the Aflam Dalar on the base, teaches us that Dine Momnis cannot be done by night. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Dalar Amar Aleph, teaches us that Chalitza cannot be done at night, because the Chalitza is compared to a Dine Momnis. The Ramah, quoting the opinion of the Ramaim, says that a get is similar to Chalitza. And since a get is similar to chalitza, a get also should not be done at night. Says the Reim, that since we've learned in our Gemara so many times the concept of Yotzeva Haisa, which compares Gittin to Kedushin, so therefore the Reim suggests that Kedushin also should not take place at night, if we're learning a get can't take place at night. And that, indeed, Rabbi Kiva Eger Paskins, that it's preferable to perform Kedushin during the daytime. And so says the Knesset Gedolah, that at night we should have Kedushin. The Shaar Malach, however, quotes a Rashba. He says, when is the halacha that a Kedushin should take place at not by night? That's only when we're doing Kedusha Shtar. Because Kedusha Shtar are what's similar to a get. And if a get has to be done by day, Kedusha Shtar should be done by day. But Kedusha Kesef, the Kedusha Kesef, which is not what is normally compared to Shtar, can be done by night. But the Sefer Get Poshet asks a question. The Reim is saying that Kedushin should be done by day. Our Gemara, in order to explain what was going on, said that our Gemara is referring to Kodesh B'layla. So what's going to Reim going to do with our Gemara that says explicitly that Kedusha was took place by night? So the Achroinim explain that the Reim is going to say that the Gemara, when it says the Kodesh B'layla, doesn't mean that the Kedusha actually took place at night. What it means is it took place in a place that's dark. And since it's dark, they weren't able to see the amount of money, but it was taking place by day. But of course, that would open up a whole new conversation. And that is, if it's dark, then there's another issue. The Edom have to be able to identify the Chas and the Kala. And if the Kedushin are taking place in a place where it's dark, then the Edom can't identify the Chas and the Kala. And if the Edom can't identify the Chas and the Kala, then we have a whole new issue that the Kedushin may not be a valid Kedushin if the Edom couldn't see it. We're gonna have to figure out that it's speaking by the case that they were able to identify the Chas and Kala, but they didn't see the denomination. Or maybe the Edom saw and not the woman. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef gives a different explanation why Beis Shammai insists on a dinner. Rabbi Yosef Amar Tamai de Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda Marvasi. Whenever the Torah speaks about kesef, it means kesef tsuri, which is kesef that comes from tsur, which is the type of money that was in use in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'shel devrayim, whenever Chachamim insist that we should use kesef, it means kesef medina, the money which was in currency in their time. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is kesef tsuri is eight times more valuable than kesef medina, and therefore it's very understandable. The dinar is worth eight times more than the pruta, and since the dinar is worth eight times more than the pruta, that's why our Gemara is the Beis Shammai, and we're talking about kesef deraisa, because it's kesef that we're doing a kedushin, that we've been learning throughout our masechta, that's a way to affect the kedushin with the deraisa. Since it's a way we can make a kedushin deraisa, it has to be kesef tsuri, and that's why Beis Shammai says you have to use the minimum of a dinner. Gufam Rabbi Yudam Rav Asi says the Gemara kol kesef on b'toyro. When the Torah speaks about money, it speaks about kesef tsuri. When the Rabbanah speak about money, it's kesef medina. Says the Mavak Klaluhu, is that a hard and fast rule? V'taina. We know that the Torah speaks about a moed of a mixus. A moed of a mixus is somebody who admitted partially to a claim. The Torah says, Kiyitin ish arei kesef akelim lishmar. Somebody asks somebody else to watch something, and when it comes to return what he's supposed to give back, he admits that the person comes and says, you're holding my kelim. And he says that he only admits partially to the claim. The Torah Kedoshah says that in such a case, this is called Moedim Mikzas, the Nikar of Balabayas Elokim, he has to make a shvua that what he's saying is true. But Tanan, and the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos that Mem Chesam Beis teaches us, Shvuos HaDayonim, the Shvuah that the Dayonim impose on a Moed of a Mixus, HaTaina, the amount that the claim has to be, that the minimum amount of the claim, that it should be the type of a claim for which is the Shvuah, it has to be no less than Shtei Kesef, two more Kesef, which are two-thirds of a dinner. Vaidah, and the amount of the moed of a mixus that he admits to is a shava pruta. If he's not moed of a mixus, at least to a pruta, he's not considered a moed of a mixus. He's considered a koifer akol. And midaraisa, somebody who is a koifer akol, does not have to make a shvua. So we see here, the Torah uses the word kesef. And according to Rav Asi, the halacha is that it should have to be at least a dinner, and a one more should not be enough. And here we see that you do make a claim even on two-thirds. It should have to be at least a dinner, as we just learned, because we said that whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, it means a dinner. And here we see that the claim could be even a two-thirds of a dinner. So isn't this a proof that just because the Torah used the word kesef, it doesn't mean necessarily a dinner? Says the Gemara, Hasam, we have to look at the pasuk of the Torah.
The Torah that introduces this entire parsha says, "Kitin ishal reyu kesef oikelim lishmar." So the Torah compares the kesef to the kelim. Ma kelim b'shnayim. Kelim is a lashon rabbim. We're talking about at least two vessels. Af kesef shnayim. It has to be two coins. Two coins could be two-thirds of a dinner. Ma kesef davar chashev. Af kelim davar chashev. But if the kelim that there was a claim over weren't davar chashev, it wouldn't be enough. So we see from here that it's talking about shtei kesef, and not one kesef, but it doesn't mean a dinner. Ask the Gemara, but meiser. The Torah says that if we know in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we give meiser sheni. The halacha of meiser sheni is that the actual meiser sheni should be taken into Yerushalayim and be eaten in Yerushalayim. But if Baruch Hashem, somebody has an abundance of meiser sheni, and it's difficult, they didn't live in the time of cars, to take all of that meiser sheni up to Yerushalayim, it could be redeemed, and the money could be taken to Yerushalayim and used in Yerushalayim to buy food. And the Torah says, "V'tzat of a kesef, v'tzat a kesef biyotcha." Says the Gemara Tanan, and the Mishnah Masechta Meiser Sheni says, "Hapirat seller b'moras Meiser Sheni." Somebody who has Meiser Sheni coins, copper coins that he accumulated, and now he has a seller kesef. The halacha is he could take all those coins and change them into a seller kesef and take that up to Yerushalayim. So we see that you're allowed to use copper coins. The Torah says that you're supposed to use kesef to redeem your Meiser Sheni. And here we see that you can even use copper coins to effect that redemption. But ask the Gemara, according to Rav Asi, if the Torah uses the word kesef, kesef means kesef tsuri, silver coins. How could the copper prutus be used? Answers the Gemara, there's a special limud. Kesef ha-kesef. The Torah adds the letter hey for riboy to teach us that even though normally you have to use the kesef tsuri, here you do not. Ask the Gemara for a hegdish. The halacha is if somebody wants to redeem hegdish. The pasuk says v'nosan kesef v'kamloi. V'amishmul hegdish shavim mana. You have a hegdish, you have an animal which is hegdish, which is worth 100 dinar. Shechila shavapruta. Even midaraisa, you took even just a shavapruta and you used it to be redeem it, mechulo. So we see that the Torah speaks about kesef being used as the instrument to redeem your kegdish, and we see you could use even a gold, a copper coin. Answers the Gemara, hasam nami kesef kesef, we learn exer shavah for meiser. And if the Gemara just taught us by meiser, we have the hakesef to teach us that you could use copper coins. This exer shavah teaches us that so too is the halacha by redeeming hegdish. Ask the Gemara very kedusha isha. What about kedusha isha? The ksiv kikach ish ishu bala the Gemara, and we learned kikach b'stei efren. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta. How do we know that kedushin erisin can be affected with kesef? We learned the gzeir shava from when Avram Avinu bought the Maris and Machpelah from Efren. Utanana, we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. Beisilam b'pruta shava pruta. And Beishami says b'dinner. So now ask the Gemara. If Rav Asi established that whenever the Torah says kesef, it means kesef tsuri, a silver coin. So it'll turn out that Rav Asi is following the opinion of Beishami, who says that indeed you have to use a dinner. But Beishil says a pruta is satisfactory. How will Rav Asi be able to understand that? It turns out Rav Asi is following the opinion of Beis Hillel, and whenever we have a halachic discussion like this, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, Itma Hoch Yitma. Arav Yidom Rav Asi, Kol Kosef Ha'am Torah. Whenever the Torah identifies a certain amount of money you have to pay, for example, if somebody was Ma'anis Absula Nara, if somebody violated a girl who's a Nara, who's a psula, v'nosan, you have to give a father chamishim kesef. Or if somebody's animal killed somebody else's Eved Kanani, the Torah establishes that under all circumstances, you have to pay Shloshim Kesef. When the Torah says in these cases, you have to pay Kesef, Shloshim Kesef, Chamishim Kesef, says Rav Asi, what type of Kesef is the Torah referring to? The Torah is referring to Kesef Tzuri. However, if the Rabbanon established the fine that you have to pay, there it'll be Kesef Medina. It doesn't have to be Kesef Tzuri, which we said earlier in our shir is worth an eighth of the Kesef Medina, is an eighth in value of the Kesef Tzuri. So now we don't have a problem. Because the Torah, even though it said Kedushin could be done with Kesef, but the Torah didn't say specifically how much Kesef has to be used for Kedushin. Since the Torah did not say how much Kesef has to be used for Kedushin, it could even be Kesef, it could even be a Pruta. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that Rav Asi is coming to teach us that when the Torah specifies Kesef, it's supposed to be paid in Kesef Tzuri, ask them, am I Kamashmon? Then there's nothing new here. Tanina, Chamesh Shloim Shol Pen, when the Torah says that by Pidyon Ben you have to give Chamesh Shloim, or the Shloshim Shalev that we just spoke about, the Chamishim of Oynes that we just spoke about, the Shemafata, if somebody seduces a girl, the Deir Tura Alochas, you have to pay Chamishim Kesef, the Meish Shemotzi Shemra, if somebody marries a woman who is a Psula, and then he comes and claims, this is the Gemara beginning of Masechta Ksubis, and he comes and claims that it's Loi Matzosi Lebitcha Psulim, that your daughter wasn't a Psula, and then it turns out, Hoitzi Shem Ra, what he's saying was not true, that the Alochi is he has to pay Mei Kesef, Kulam, B'Shekla Kodesh B'Monatzuri. The Braisa, the Mishnah, Masechta B'Chairis, Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, tells us explicitly that all of these payments, which are specific amounts set by the Torah, are paid with Kesef Tzuri. So what is Rav Asi teaching us that isn't an explicit Mishnah? And as we often state when we have these kind of questions, the Gemara means to say, every Amira was expected to know every Mishnah. And included in knowing and expected to know every Mishnah is that he's not going to come and say a Chiddush, he's not going to say a rule, which is stated in an explicit Mishnah. Hence the Gemara, Rav Asi's Chiddush is not regarding that when Torah specifies an amount that should be Kesef Tzuri. What it meant to be spoken about was Shadvreim Kesef Medina Tzuchalei, the Leitanan. When somebody's Chayiv Midrabbonon, a specific amount, that you pay that in Kesef Medina, that's what had to be taught, the Leitanan. That we don't have a specific Mishnah to teach us that how you pay it. The Tanya, Hatevkeil Lechaveroi. If somebody blows a shofar into someone else's ear, which is very embarrassing, the loch is that the amount of boishes that Chazal established you have to pay is a seller. That was the established amount of boishes. The loy time in my seller Arbezuzi comes of Rashi to teach us that don't say that the seller means four zuzim. Al Maisa Sela, what it means is half a zuz, which is the Sela Medina, which is an eighth of the Sela Tzuri, that Avdi Inchi, that people in those times would call a Pagazuz and a Stira, they would call that amount a Sela. But really, that you have to pay just the amount of a half a zuz, which is an eighth, a half a zuz, which is an eighth of a seller tzuri. Again, and it's called a seller because that's the way in the language that they spoke was called. Why do you only have to pay that amount? Because this is an amount, says Rav Asi, that was established by the Rabbanon. And when it's a fine that was established by the Rabbanon, you don't have to pay Kesef Tzuri. You could pay Kesef Medina, which is only an eighth of the Kesef Tzuri.